This podcast is presented by Chicago Sports Nation. Chicago Sports Nation, enhancing your Chicago sports fan experience. Welcome to White Sox Nation Podcast. This is your host, Jack Thiel. Of course, we're sponsored by Manscaped, but it's good to be back. I know it was a little bit of a break since our last podcast where we, we talked about the lockout, what's going on. Obviously, the big news is, of course, baseball is back. And today we're going to talk about kind of that, but also spring training starting and season, the White Sox season is underway in about 2 weeks. We'll talk about, you know, kind of spring training, how things have been going there. The White Sox have made a couple of moves, not the greatest moves. We'll talk about, you know, kind of the frustrations on those. And then season starts in about 2 weeks. You know, we'll talk about projected rotation probably alongside the projected starting lineup for the White Sox. So with that being said, let's get right into it. So obviously, the big news, like we said, baseball is back. After a lockdown, the season is still delayed for 2 weeks or canceled for 2 weeks. So, I believe April 7th is the start date for baseball. So even though we lost a couple of games, we are getting baseball back. And that is very good just because, I mean, who wants something summer without baseball? Who doesn't want to see their White Sox, who are probably, you know, the best roster they've had in ever? Who doesn't want to see them compete at a high level? Because they definitely can. So I feel like this is so relieving for White Sox fans, for baseball fans in general, even if, you know, maybe you don't have the greatest of teams, but I mean, if you love baseball, how are you going to not want to watch baseball? But with that being said, the White Sox, they've been in spring training for a couple of weeks now. You know, a lot of the guys, a lot of the under guys have definitely made, you know, some of their presence known. I think a big name like Yolky Cespedes, a guy who is, you know, one of those guys in the minors, figures to work his way up, is someone that the White Sox someone the White Sox fans are talking about. But I think one of the biggest stories is, you know, Mikel Adolfo. And the reason why I'm bringing up Mikel Adolfo is just because this is the last year he can play in the minor leagues. For people that don't know about Adolfo, he has been with the White Sox he's been there since 2014, I believe. It's been a while since he's been with the Sox. And his minor league availability is coming to a close, I should say. And the biggest thing is he needs a home. He's going to have to play for probably a major team, or he is going to be stuck, as he's been in the minors for the White Sox, for the last 8 years. And he's never been called up to the MLB, like I said. So he's been there for the last, 8 years. He's had himself a very impressive spring training so far. He's got 2 home runs and 6 RBIs and 14 at-bats alongside a .500 batting average. Another guy, like we mentioned, was Yolky Cespedes, the brother of Yoenis Cespedes, obviously. In 19 at-bats, he has a batting average of .263, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, and a couple nice catches in the spring training games. Those two guys figure to definitely try to, you know, make their presence known. Try to work their way up the system. And then in general, just like the whole White Sox team, it's been Luis Robert. Luis Robert has not missed a step at all. In 19 at-bats, he is batting .263, a team high in 3 home runs, a team high in 7 RBIs, and another team high in 5 runs and a team high in slugging of .789. He looks like the way he did the second half of the season, and that he looks poised to make that AL MVP run that a lot of fans think he could make. I mean, Luis Robert in the second half of the season was absolutely ridiculous. It was one of the greatest runs, I think, for one of the White Sox players that I can remember in recent history. You know, when you look at his splits in that season for the second half, and the second half was when he came back for injury. And it was a brutal injury, obviously, one of his first serious injuries. Sox fans didn't know what to expect because, you know, how do you come back from that, a young player? But in his second half of the season, as it's loading, Luis Robert, so this was his second half. And Luis Robert, second half of the season, in the first half, it was pretty good as well. I mean, in 25 games in the first half, he had, I mean, one home run, 8 RBIs, but he batted .316. In 43 games, he started all 43 games in the second half of the season. He had 12 home runs, 35 RBIs, 33 strikeouts, which is pretty good, .350 batting average, a .389 on-base percentage, a .622 slugging, which calculates to a 1.011 OPS, and he had a .375 batting average with runners in scoring position. And if that doesn't, if it makes it any better, in wins, he batted .365 and got on base 40% of the time. And he did most of his damage while batting second. When he batted second, he had 8 home runs and 24 RBIs. Now we'll talk about Luis Robert as we get more into the season. But my point bringing this up is the fact that he has transformed himself into one of the best players, or about to be one of the best players in the AL and the MLB and outfielder ranks. That he's showing it in the spring training. He's, like I said, he's been on a tear in spring training. Get 2 home runs on Sunday, actually, against the Dodgers. And I think the Luis Robert has the most potential of anyone in the MLB right now. And this guy has the opportunity to take just his whole identity, just skill-wise, money-wise, endorsement-wise, potential-wise, to the next level. And I think for Luis Robert, that he realizes that this is a year where he could definitely make some noise and definitely impress a lot of baseball fans. And another guy who's really been impressive has been Eloy Jimenez. Eloy kind of had a drop-off after his return from the injury. He got hurt in spring training last year. Obviously, that injury trying to rob the home run. He's only played, 55 games last year. He's only played 55 games last year, and he played 55 games the year before that. Batted .249, 10 home runs, 37 RBIs with .303 on base percentage. He obviously had a really good start to last year. When he came back from that injury, he was hot. And, you know, I'm not 100% sure what happened in that process, but when you look at, you know, his stats, Eloy came back in that July. He came back in July, but early August. In August, he had 7 home runs, 27 RBIs, and he batted .287, .320 on base percentage. But in September and October, he batted .213 with a .289 on base percentage. So Eloy is looking for a bounce back year. He's only 25, but he's doing a great job with, you know, the bat and spring training. I think that spring training wins and losses don't matter. Kind of how you're playing in spring training does matter, just due to the fact that you want to be going into the regular season, you know, looking good, looking hot. So I think that's a big thing for the White Sox. In terms of pitching, there's not really much to be said. It's because these guys, they only pitch, four innings. I think Lucas Giolito's had himself a very impressive spring training. So in two games, he's thrown 6 2/3 of innings. He struck out 9 alongside a 0 ERA. Garrett Crochet, in 4 games, he's pitched 4 innings. His ERA is 2.25, and he has struck out 7. He's looked impressive in some sense, a really impressive performance against Shohei Ohtani. I think Garrett Crochet is trying to rev up that fastball maybe a little more than previously. I know that his fastball numbers, I don't really know if he hit 100 once last year like he did in his rookie year where all he did was hit 100. So I think he's looking for a bounce back year, and I think another guy who's got a lot riding on his name is Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease is a guy who can definitely have that make or break season. He's entering his 4th year with the White Sox, coming off his best season with a 3.91 ERA. He threw a complete game shutout once, and he was tops in the MLB in strikeouts with 226. I know Lance Lynn, obviously another guy. Dallas Keuchel, a guy who really is trying to bounce back. Michael Kopech, another guy who, someone trying to be inserted into that starting rotation. So with that being said, we're gonna go to our break and our ads from Anchor and Manscaped. And with that being said, we're gonna talk about our projections for the rotation and bullpen lineups, and also talk about those new acquisitions the Sox made. So stay tuned, everybody. Breaking news. This is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems like Manscaped worked with Elon Musk engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, what makes this trimmer different than all the other trimmers? It has a new multifunction on and off switch, which you can engage a travel lock, which is created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish, even features a hot foil-stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof, so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you. So you get 20% off and free shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code CHI. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. Welcome back to White Sox Nation Podcast, everybody. So if you're just joining us, we are able to talk about, you know, kind of how the baseball lockout ended and some spring training news for the White Sox and, you know, what has come about that. Now we're going to get into a little bit of the off season for the White Sox. Now, fortunately, it wasn't the greatest off season. Jerry did not open his checkbook at all. There were limited signings for the White Sox, and you know, the signings weren't the greatest. So some of the first ones for the White Sox that were introduced. Well, first off, a lot of people forget, and I think a lot of people should remember, is the White Sox got Kendall Graveman a while ago. I think that's one thing that some people forget, that Kendall Graveman is now a White Sox player, from the Houston Astros, really good. He's been one of the best relievers for the Houston Astros for many years now. And he was a free agent, and the White Sox went out and got him. He's 31 years old. Last year, he played with two teams. He was on Seattle, and then he went to Houston. But in 2021, he had an ERA of 1.77. He's been pretty good all his whole career. And 1.77 total. He's had a couple of rough years, been up and down, but Kendall Graveman seems to be our, seventh inning guy, I would say, sixth inning. The Sox still have Craig Kimbrell. They still have Bummer, Crochet, Liam. So, it's like, where do you put Kendall Graveman at? So I think he figures maybe be that sixth, seventh inning guy. But I also think that it comes down to the types of matchups and the types of hitters that are up and what Tony La Russa feels more confident in with it. Like I said, the types of matchups there. And the White Sox are able to add one more to their bullpen. And it was Joe Kelly of the LA Dodgers is now going to be a White Sox. They signed him. I believe the deal was $8 million. But Joe Kelly, 33 years old, is now a Chicago White Sox player. Last year with the Dodgers, he did get suspended, but he had an ERA of 2.86. He did record two saves along the way. He's kind of been bounced around with the league, Cardinals, Red Sox, and Dodgers, but the last 2 years, he's been very impressive with sub-3 ERAs. He's had sub-3 ERAs multiple times throughout his career. It's another guy where, So I think that's when you think about where does he fit? I think that comes down to maybe another matchup situation. I think that really depends who's up and what Tony La Russa feels confident going into. And then also the White Sox were able to sign Josh Harrison. Josh Harrison seems to be the everyday second baseman for the White Sox. Harrison, veteran, pretty old. He's played multiple teams throughout his career. Last year specifically, he was with the Oakland A's and the Washington Nationals. He's more known for his career on Pittsburgh. Last year, for both of the teams in total, he batted .279 with 8 home runs alongside 6 RBIs, but he did get on a base percentage of .341. So he's a decent piece. I don't think he's bad. I don't think he's great. I think he's a good role player for the White Sox. I think, like I said, that he can be decent role player, not the greatest, but not the worst signing. He can play in multiple positions. He's had some outfield experience before. But that's why I think that, I think that for Josh Harrison, he can be a nice role player every day at second base. Maybe the Sox go for someone else. But he's going to be batting in that 7-9 order. And possibly he can find some ways to get on base to allow guys like T.A., Luis, Jose to drive him in. And then the White Sox today actually made an acquisition for the outfield. It is Adam Haseley out of the Phillies. Former top 10 pick for White Sox pitching prospect McKinley Moore. For Haseley, guy who is very highly touted coming out of the draft. And struggled, hasn't been the greatest guy, definitely trying to bounce back, maybe put his career back on track. So Those are all the moves the White Sox have made. And I know it's pretty depressing with how good and how many other free agents were available. And for the White Sox, obviously, they did not make really that many moves, obviously. So it's frustrating. But with that being said, we're going to go on to our last segment, which is going to be talking about basically the future or our predictions on the rotation and lineup. So for the rotation, I expect it for Giolito to be number one. I think he will be the opening day starter for the White Sox. I think that he's earned it, obviously, and that he's the number one. I think Lance Lynn goes into number two, obviously. I put Dylan Cease at number three. I think Dylan Cease is going to be poised for a breakout year. Got to put Keuchel in that four spot. I'm a little nervous about Keuchel after the season he had last year. You hope maybe in his final contract year that he can find something out of the tank. I know Keuchel is getting ready to retire probably, but you hope that he can find something just out of the tank and that can hopefully help the White Sox contribute. And then fifth, I expect that to be Kopech. I wouldn't be if Ronaldo Lopez made a couple of starts. They have Velasquez now, another guy who they got. Garrett Crochet could make a couple of starts. But I predict that it's going to be Kopech by the end of the year who's going to be solidified in that 4-5 spot for the White Sox. And now for the lineup. So for the lineup, I have Tim Anderson, obviously leading things off. I have Luis Robert batting second. Jose Abreu jumps into that third spot. Yasmani Grandal goes into that fourth spot. I have Aloy Jimenez in the fifth spot. I have Yoan Moncada in the sixth spot. I have Andrew Vaughn playing right field or DH in the seventh spot. I have Josh Harrison in the eighth spot. And then for the ninth spot, I have either Gavin Sheets, Leury García, Adam Engel, maybe Micker Adolfo, whoever you want in that nine spot. So a pretty loaded 1-9. Like I said, the White Sox have a couple more weeks until opening day, which is against the Detroit Lions in Detroit. And then after that, they come home for their home opener. More of a homestand. It's against the Mariners. They have a homestand against the Mariners and Rays. Their home opener is on Tuesday at 3:10 against the Seattle Mariners. But the opening day for the White Sox is April 8th, Friday, 12:10 start time in Detroit, Michigan against the Tigers. I think Eduardo Rodriguez is supposedly the starting for them, so appear to see them as the Tigers did get a lot. I mean, Javier Baez is also a Detroit Tiger as well. So with that being said, that's all for today's show. We'll ramp up more shows as the season goes along, but want to give you an update on spring training, obviously the lockout, and just White Sox news in general. So that being said, this is Jack Thiel signing off and saying, have a great day, everybody.